This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Guest is Lark in Texas, and he's going to be with us for the last 2 hours. His website is larkintexas.blogspot.com, and his chat room is just a numerican. .chatango.com. Okay, Lark, are you there?
I am.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm sorry. People should...
I'm dealing with thunder showers today.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's doing that here also. We've had a lot of rain. We had snow a couple of weeks ago. The weather has been, manipulated.
It always is.
Sure.
Don't worry, they're not going to drown us out today.
No, and they need to keep a certain number of us alive, because that's how we are vehicles for their profit. So,
indeed.
Really,
yeah.
Can't kill us all.
I like the part about resource management. Well, that would include the humankind.
Sure.
Because they're all about efficient management of their territorial assets and their means of production. You know, in history, Deanna, there were three great alchemical dreams of old. The first was to turn lead into gold, a base metal into something deemed more valuable. Mm-hmm. Then, there was the perpetual motion machine. And finally, there was immortality. Well, they've accomplished all of these dreams to a certain respect, because by turning lead into gold... they invented war.
Oh, my gosh.
And with the perpetual motion, with the perpetual motion machine, they invented slavery, mm-hmm. bondage, servitude. And finally, with immortality, they've invented the modern corporation.
Right. Which goes on, yeah, right. It has the same benefits awarded to them as a human does, but they can just keep perpetuating their evil and their policies on the planet, which is really destroying it.
Well, of course, their thinking is they need much fewer of us today and in years gone by, because they intend to have AI and robots do all their management work for them, because they really don't want to have to mess with us. They only want enough of us to ensure their profits, so that they can live a high life and be able to pass their lucre onto their heirs.
Right.
So they can maintain their control of... this entire plane of existence.
Right. And of course, warfare is largely done through robots, and through, they can destroy. It's not a face-to-face kind of a situation as it used to be.
Dallas is the home of where they actually used a robot to kill a so-called terrorist that murdered 5 Dallas police officers, which was entirely a hoax. Remember that incident?
There have been so many lately.
This was a few years ago.
Yeah, what's a hoax and what isn't now?
Chief of police had just gotten back from Israel at the time, and there was over 200 seasoned Dallas police officers who quit the force in the year before, probably because they got wind of what was going on, and they took, lateral or better paying jobs in the suburbs just to get away from it.
Right.
But yeah, today with warfare, you know, the real war is, you know, Nikki described it early on. She called it a war on words.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Nikki Rapana.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Nikki, her book.
The War on Words. And she was, something that she was, with her daughter, was produced or was going to produce for her dad, for her late father. But today, you know, just about everything that we hear through the controlled media pathways is agitprop. And of course, agitprop is a portmanteau, neologism, which stands for agitation, appealing to emotion, and propaganda, appealing to the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so modern warfare today is cyber, nonlinear, asymmetric, psychological, biological, economic, weather, cultural, mimetic.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it is a war on words, first and foremost, because let's always remember that slavery begins in the mind.
How true.
And law is always about custom and use. In a communitarian system, everybody is conscripted to evil, to even participate. And that's why I call it organized crime made legal. That's what we have today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See, morality has been redefined.
Oh, for sure.
You know, communitarian ethics is very different from, say, Christian ethics or other ethical values. And this is all being done right under our noses.
So promoted. If people were to watch TV for an entire day and the commercials and everywhere you look, there is no vehicle that they are not using to promote their agenda. And it's not just the overt stuff, it's the subtle stuff that people might not even recognize, but it's certainly the agenda, the family unit being broken apart and modified, and it's just very demoralizing.
You know, the late George Gordon, George Gordon Law School, he published something that was rather sobering. You can still find it easily on the internet. Just do a search. Are you a practicing communist? And that illustrates what I mean by being conscripted to evil in a communitarian system. You know, for instance, somebody that works for Microsoft or Apple or Google, would you say they were a capitalist or a communist? If everyone is conscripted to evil. Well, see, that's why they had to invent this new word, communitarianism, because, you know, words like capitalism and communism have found disfavor amongst the populace.
Mm-hmm.
And so they knew that this word communitarianism was too long and had too many syllables, and it would be just confusing to people. And so they simply substituted another word that had rather a cosseting effect on people, and that word is community. And that's why in the European Union, the new law of the European Union is known as community law, or variously as EU law, or in the French, acquis communautaire, which translates into English as communitarian law. Now, that law was more than 60, 70 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
And so why wouldn't we have, with all of these so-called free trade agreements and these treaty agreements, why wouldn't we have communitarian law in this country? Because, of course, it's contract and commercial law, or UCC,
mm-hmm.
all rolled into one. And so our courts have given way to communitarian law, and our law enforcement the same. Doesn't matter what kind of law enforcement. Maybe it was, you know, much of law enforcement in this country was rolled up to be underneath the aegis of the Department of Homeland Security.
Right.
Remember the last time we spoke, I told you I met a, there was a local meet and greet at a little espresso shop up the street several months ago. And it's where the citizenry supposedly could mingle with the local cops on the beat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a friendly get together. There was about 30 or 40 people that showed up. And in such situations, the cops are usually pretty friendly. You know, they want to chat with just people like you sort of thing. And they pass out their business cards. And there's always a badge number on the card. But I found my way to the assistant chief of police. And instead of a badge number on his business card was the word or the initials PhD.
Hmm.
And that's why when I bring up this idea of the article penned by Ryan Grimm several years ago, originally published in the Huffington Post, it was called How the Federal Reserve Bought the Economics Profession. I say it's how they bought up all the professions today. And that's why the universities and the public schools, even the private schools, are so poisoned even before we had the rollout of Common Core.
Right.
So they're basically conscripting our young people, our progeny, to this kind of evil. You know, this idea of going along to get along and go with the flow and accept your new social contract theory.
Right. And that goes back decades and decades and decades, even before the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education.
Let's start with Horace Mann.
Right. Long time ago. So it's, it's all been incremental. Because if they attempted to impose all of these things, all at one time, of course people would reject it. But when people don't even remember from one week to the next or one month to the next what they heard on TV or on the news, and then they hear something that's completely different, totally contrary to what they heard before, it's a day-to-day kind of a thing. And so they
don't... Can I jump in just a second?
Yeah, please, Jerry.
So Horace Mann came in, what, 1910 or something?
Yes.
But what I was going to say is Woodrow Wilson was on a committee in 1993, education curriculum.
Right.
They were developing curriculum for the United States, supposedly.
Right.
You had all these little, schools, rural schools, one teacher, 18 kids, whatever. But what they decided was to keep the teachings of anything having to do with political economy or monetary systems and civics, meaning the government, anything about how the government works, out of the public curriculum. That was in 1893. One of them was eliminated, but they later included that a couple decades later. I just thought that was an interesting
factoid. Yeah, the behaviorists and the social scientists had their day when they finally eliminated civics. Of course, the civics classes were really rather sparse anyway. I remember I was born in 1954. I may have been the last graduating class that ever had a class called civics, but
and that was was because of that 1893 panel. They got rid of civics right away, as soon as it, and then they wanted public education. And I think 1910, 13, 18, somewhere around there, they decided everything was going to be public education by a curriculum that was devised by these, elite people, people, self-appointed autocrats.
Well, then the entire curriculum, and that includes the medical and the law schools, has given way to vocational training. And it's the entire education system has been Sovietized. And I think Robin Eubanks has done an excellent job of proving that. So, yeah, I'm concerned about the young people. You know, I'm in my mid-60s, but, you know, I have a niece that's about to have a second baby. She's going to be 33 in July. And she has a master's degree in teaching. Lives in California. And she didn't even realize that where she got her degree at Sonoma State University was the home of Project Censored, which was founded by an avowed Marxist.
Right.
Founded by an avowed Marxist.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can look it up. It's you could still found on the internet. Just look up Project Censored, learned about the man that founded it and the guy that took it over and how it's being run today. And, you know, they came up with this top 10 news stories that were underreported list every year by Project Censored. And, you know, they were featured on Pacifica Radio and all that for many years. I think they still are. You know, the public airwaves, so-called.
Well, I have some books. From like 20 years ago.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I have some of their early books. I thought, oh, this is great. But
I do too.
Yeah.
Project Censored.
Avowed Marxist. He says so himself.
Well, how does it come out in their books then? The articles they choose? The subjects they choose?
Well, we're talking strictly at this moment about the people who founded it and what their positions were there at Sonoma State University there in Santa Rosa, California. And, of course, that's where Deborah Tavares is from. And not far away is people like Michael Shaw, if you remember him, my friend. I guess he was an accountant and a lawyer. Remember, he has a website called freedomadvocates.org. But, today, you know, we've talked about cognitive dissonance before, and we talked about the role of these behaviorists and these social scientists, you know, how they influence the curricula in the schools and the universities. But, you know, cognitive dissonance is something that all human beings experience. It's a normal, natural phenomenon. And it's when you simply are confronted by having two thoughts simultaneously that both seem correct.
Rational, yeah.
And so there's nothing wrong with cognitive dissonance. We have to sort it out. But see, the marketers and the behaviorists and the social scientists and the propagandists, they have learned and studied cognitive dissonance so that they can exploit it.
Right.
And exploit the people. Because it's really more or less like plantation or herd management in their minds, I suppose. But the idea is to bring about a state of what's called abulia, and that's spelled A-B-U-L-I-A or A-B-O-U-L-I-A. And that is to bring about a condition where there's an absence of willpower. And it's characterized by an inability to act decisively. And, of course, then you have something today, which was pioneered by Martin Seligman up there in Wisconsin, called learned helplessness. And this is where they want us to be, in a state of learned helplessness. It's not too dissimilar to the Stockholm Syndrome or even what Emil Durkheim discussed in his 1897 book entitled Suicide. He described a sense of normlessness that he termed anomie, spelled A-N-O-M-I-E, suicide. And that's what we're doing to ourselves.
Right. Okay. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, we are back. And my guest, I think we still have Jerry on. Jerry, are you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Okay. Our guests are Lark in Texas. His website is larkintexas.blogspot.com. And we have Geraldine Perry, who wrote the article, Word to the Wise, Beware the Green New Deal. And anyway, we're talking about a lot of very interesting things. And things that and somebody in the chat room said that history confirms the fact that the passions of an aroused minority, no matter how small a group, have exerted enough power to topple the greatest empire. The movements that control destiny are not those that rest on the inactive majority, but on the sheer force of an active minority. Will is power, not numbers, for a strong will always rule the masses. And that is so true. It just took a few people to take over the government of China, of Russia, of the United States. When you really boil it down, capitalism and communism have the exact same source. It's just a matter of the policies and the principles that they use in order to convince people that, well, I don't know that they convince people, but they certainly manipulate and exploit the masses. And certainly in just the last year, we find that there's not a lot of support, but there's support from those who control. Oh, we should give people in prison the right to vote. Oh, we should let teenagers vote. We should let 16-year-old people vote. It's just ridiculous. And of course, they know that the younger they can get these people in, the more pliable they will be and the more accepting of policies that are really meant to enslave them. It's so unfortunate.
And by the way, I want to say I'm delighted, Jerry, that you decided to stay for these next 2 hours with us.
I figured I can always learn something, right?
We always learn from each other, don't we?
That's right.
Yes.
I'm very fortunate. I've got very few friends, and yet every one of them is a lot smarter than I am. And I feel really blessed about that. Anyway, you know, going back to the Roman Republic, you know, it was almost a state credo, you know, that they had to divide and conquer. You have to corrupt in order to rule. And you can even read something called The History of Corporations. I sent you that link, Deanna. But, it, corruption in any kind of a systematized system can always find a way, as we understand. There's, you know, people are pretty ingenious. They're, we have that aspect about ourselves that we have creativity because we're products of a creator. We're tied to that creator. Therefore, we have creativity. Reminds me of one of the largest parties I ever catered. 1979, before I moved to San Francisco, and it was called Creativity, the Human Resource, and it was at a Museum of Science and Natural History in Fort Worth, Texas, and the keynote speaker was R. Buckminster Fuller. But yeah, we corrupt in order to rule, but going back to history of corporations, you know, corporativism and syndicalism is something I talked about on the very first radio show I ever did on RBN back in 2011. And unfortunately, it just really never got any traction. But
what was the name of it?
I'm sorry?
Communitarianism, First Things First.
Well, at my old website that I don't really post anything anymore, it's kind of a dead website, but I keep it up because it's a pretty good resource.
Mm-hmm.
It's called larkintexas.blogspot.com, and it's the very first entry entitled Diogenes. Remember, Diogenes of Sinope mm-hmm. was from the school of the cynics. And so to be a cynic is not to be a bad thing. It's to use discernment and common sense and employ critical thinking in your reasoning. But I talked about syndicalism. Syndicalism is a type of socialism. And this is what we have in America today. It's basically a type of collectivization of the workforce. And, there's blue-collar and there's white-collar syndicalism.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about the trade unions, like, for example, the Wobblies back in the 30s, that's blue-collar. But we can talk about the white-collar trade associations, I think, in the next segment.
Right. All righty, which is coming up right now. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Reaching for a dream of peace.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And we will be taking calls at 800-313-9443 in the last hour of today's program. So that number again is 800-313-9443. Okay, where'd we leave off? I'm reading things on...
We were talking about syndicalism.
Right. I was looking at some of the notes that we made in one of a previous program that we did, and about reflexive law, which maybe you could talk about.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
It works hand in hand with communitarian law. Regarding syndicalism, remember syndicalism is a type of socialism, and of course it tracks back to the European medieval guild system and so forth. You know, there's a famous Rembrandt painting that's on the inside cover of a Dutch master cigar box to this day, and it's called The Syndics of the Draper's Guild. And so it derives from that word, but there's such a thing as white-collar trade unionism as well, not just, you know, the steel workers union and the meat packers union and the service employees union, et cetera, et cetera. There's thousands of them. White-collar trade associations include the American Bar Association, American Medical Association, the National Governors Association, the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
That is something that people don't know about. They think that each state kind of runs. They have no idea that that these people get together and they decide how they're going to run things. It's awful if you read up about it.
Well, since ancient times, intelligentsia, the smart folks, the intellectuals always felt that the honeybee hive was the ideal way to organize society.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an economist who made his name in England named Bernard de Mandeville. And he was famous for something called the Fable of the Bees. But he was also famed for his division of labor theory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting. 1776, you had Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations.
Right.
A free trader. Remember, the sun didn't set on the British Isles.
Right.
He was all for it.
Free trade is a very old concept. Very old.
It's British mercantilism run amok.
Yes.
It's about control and management. It's not about free trade, and it's really not about free enterprise. It's about control of markets.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the example of the Declaration of Independence, July 4, 1776.
Mm-hmm.
But then you had the announcement of the Order of the Bees, the Perfectibilists, the Bavarian Order of the Illuminati by Adam Weishaupt,
right,
on May Day, 1776. Well, guess what? Karl Marx, Adam Weishaupt, and Adam Smith were all great fans of this man named Bernard de Mandeville. So we have to ask ourselves why. Remember, he was famed, if he was a famed economist of his day. And by the way, that which we call economics today used to be called moral philosophy. In fact, that's what Adam Smith was. He styled himself a moral philosopher. And I dare say that if Bernard de Mandeville was alive at that time, because he preceded Adam Smith, he would have also styled himself a moral philosopher. But America is a socialist country today because it's a syndicalist country. It's a corporativist country, as described in the book entitled Human Action by Ludwig von Mises. And it's also, like I said, it's a syndicalist country. And so what happens when you organize yourself, or you permit yourself to be organized and labeled within a collectivist entity, then you're going to give up some of your personal autonomy, your independence, your exercise of free will, to the diktats of the group, principally to its leadership. And that's how man has been led to become, as I call it, the nine words. The first three are the three C words: compliant, complacent, and complicit in their own destruction. Because people in large organizations, like, say, the military or a corporation, or a union or a trade association, they are necessarily regimented and they are compartmentalized. More and more today, people are specialized. You know, a la Henry Ford's assembly line. You know, we think about the so-called fathers of scientific management, like Frederick Winslow Taylor, Demings, Peter Drucker, etc. And so when we define communitarianism as a scientific dictatorship of the community, that's really quite accurate. But we have to define terms. And that's where it gets sticky. And with the law today, it's on purpose made to be unintelligible and incomprehensible to your average layperson that's not specialized in the study or practice of law. And this is by design, because the people in the legal industry are running a criminal protection racket. And they have to clutter up the language and make the so-called law unintelligible and incomprehensible to the masses, so that they will live in fear and feel like they have to depend on a Philadelphia lawyer to sort anything out when it comes to observing the law of the land. And this is all by design.
Sure.
And so we live in a society today in which you practically have to have permission to do a damn thing from something or someone. So, I mean, we have a regulatory scheme today that puts everyone in bondage. And, you know, for the people on the so-called left that have problems with capitalism, well, you can see they have some legitimate complaints. Mm-hmm. And for the people on the right that have problems with this thing called communism, well, we can see they have some legitimate complaints. Well, let's just reinvent everything. Let's reimagine a new beginning. Let's create a new world order a la H.G. Wells, the Fabian socialist who wrote the New World Order in 1939 or 1940. And let's have this new war on words. Let's have the ability to change the meanings of words at will, where their definitions are so malleable that the average layperson, he sees these words, reads these words, and their actual meaning in a sentence, in the context, flies right out the window, goes right past it. And that's why they use these terms of art, which seemed rather innocuous on their face. When I studied communitarian law, I ran across reflexive law, and most of my study began at Brigham Young University. Anybody can do this. A lot of these law schools, they will publish they have a journal or a law review, and it goes back. I mean, at BYU, at Brigham Young University, it goes back to the 70s. And you can see where... That's my new dog, Anna. He is about 5 pounds. And I call him Stink because he has the coloring. He's a Pomeranian. He has the coloring of a skunk.
Oh.
And I actually thought Laura had brought home a skunk, and she didn't realize it when I first laid eyes on him. And so that's why I call him Stink.
Oh, okay.
She insists, but that's him. He's decided to announce his presence, so I apologize for that.
That's all right. He's just
so anyway. I'm rambling at this point. Perhaps you or Jerry would like to say something.
Well, I was just I posted your three groupings, one of your groupings, compliant, complacent, complicit, and I'm just posting some of the things in the chat room as.
Oh, good.
You
well,
that's talking.
You know, that's the beginnings of what I call the nine words, Deanna. It's a what it is a blueprint.
I'm going to post the next three.
Yeah, of just nine words that people can employ in their own lives. They can teach this to a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old,
mm-hmm.
or how it is they want to organize their lives if they care about things like personal autonomy, exercise of free will, true freedom of choice. You know, today we live in a system of arrested development by design. And arrested development is the thwarting of your human potential, or the arresting of your human potential. And this is what slavery is all about. A slave can't own property. And that goes beyond where he hangs his hat at night. It goes to his mode of conveyance, how he gets around. And it goes to whether he owns his own mind and his own body. Because a slave can't own his own mind and his own body in a communitarian world.
Right. Which
That belongs to the community.
Which brings up the entire medical system as it has been organized and altered, the point that, well, look at the laws that are being passed recently, the Affordable Health Care Act and all of that, which really puts a person in a situation that if a doctor says you need to have this done to you or that done to you, if you don't, you're not being compliant. And in as much as something is mandated, if you're not compliant, then what could they do to you? I don't know.
It's really sad what's happening.
They
in
won't
the...
let you go to school. They won't let you have a job. They won't let you do a lot of things.
Well, you know, the medical industry has this thing called standard of care.
Right.
And, of course, you have your diagnostic... You've got your diagnostic and statistical manual.
Right.
And but the legal industry, education, I mean, these poor people in law schools, basically they learn about the rules of evidence, the rules of criminal and civil procedure, and the rules of court, and they learn about case law. And then they turn these people out onto the public. I mean, they've been conscripted to evil just like the people in the medical industry. And, when you can control the science and when you control the language, you can control people. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I noticed that you were talking in the previous segment about agriculture. You know, they say energy, you can control nations. And if you can control food, you control people. Well, that's where we're headed.
That's where we are. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anything that's good that's coming out of, good thinking about agriculture, whether small scale or large scale, is being corrupted now by this high-tech business. And I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about anything connected to high-tech.
Jerry, you had a comment?
Oh, there can be no such thing as large-scale agriculture if you do agriculture correctly. So, and the country was founded on small agriculture, not what we have today. And it's going to get even bigger because you can run these fields with these annual crops, you know, in straight rows with these, you know, multi-million-dollar pieces of equipment run by computers someplace off. So, supposedly, theoretically, they're supposed to reduce a lot of these jobs that are, you know, coming on board. So the younger population coming out of schools facing no job market, yada, yada, after spending, what, $100,000-$200,000 to get themselves through school, they're in a real pickle. And, they see AI as a threat, which it is, you know, driverless cars and driverless tractors and, you know, all plant diets, which are totally unhealthy, and all of this other stuff. I wanted to ask you, Mark, a lot of what you're saying is a little unfamiliar for me. And back in the day, so Adam Smith wasn't the only, well, he was a philosopher. In fact, I have on one of my, on the Health Advantage. Oh, no. Well, anyway, Adam Smith was... He had counterparts known as the physiocrats, which have been marginalized, not surprisingly, but though most of the founders were physiocrats in their way of looking at things. And I tried to bring that out a little bit in another article I called Free Trade and War. Free Trade, War, and Debt are all branches of the same tree. And then the other part was land use, because land used to be not split estate, which is what they've got now in that other article, American Dreams Destroyed by Debt. So that's where I'm coming from, you know, and that one has to do with how the Constitution was changed progressively through amendments and Supreme Court interpretations that probably would fit in with what you're saying about the legal system, how that's been altered. Anyway, that's my comment.
No, you make good points. Deanna, last week I posted something in your chat, an address by Donald Livingston of the Abbeville Institute about the real reason the South seceded. before the so-called American Civil War. I could pull it up, but the truth is that I trace it back to the beginning. You know, there was, see, I don't think that Americans ever had true
sovereignty.
They never
had a choice. Never.
We were never sovereign. We've never been independent.
Right.
As a people. Now, under the Articles of
Confederation.
Of Confederation, there was sovereignty, but remember, all of those so-called colonies or companies were land grants.
Right. East mm-hmm. India Company, and sure.
So that's why mm-hmm. I say it was suzerainty, not sovereignty, even then.
Right. Okay, we're going to...
Well, I have a comment to add to that, but go ahead.
We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All righty, welcome back. Excuse me. Welcome back. There's just a post in the chat room. People need to be told how this is useful to them. How can they make their lives better for this knowledge? And he further states, this is so over the heads of the average citizen listener. It can seem pointless to listen when people don't know what to do with all this data. Okay, so what do we do? There are still, I've always believed there are still choices that one can make. As one becomes educated, there are choices that people can personally make in their lives to have as much control over their houses, over themselves. And I believe that's true. We still have choices. Correct?
Yeah, Jerry, I think you were going to add something.
Yes,
for the break.
Jerry.
Okay. What was I going to add? I think it was had to do with the statement that the colonies were started as charters or corporations, which is true, but they did create a system of government, which was stolen immediately by Hamilton and his friends. I mean, Hamilton's relatives, the Schuylers, were granted 10,000 acres. They're up in upstate New York or Vermont or whatever.
And so their even whole George system, Washington did the same thing. He got a big bunch of land.
Yeah.
I mean,
Washington
grabbers.
Is a different case altogether. But anyway, what they created in the beginning was a government that would be run by the people instead of by the kings. So they turned it all on its head. That didn't last very long, and when you read the writings of these people, you see where they came close, and that's one of the things I tried to address briefly in that American Struggle slide presentation, how it got taken away, essentially, but in the other two articles I was mentioning, because it was a long process. It didn't happen overnight, but Hamilton showed his colors right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He played his cards pretty well. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
In terms of, because the original design talked about by the founders was to have small landholders support the economy. They wanted to keep the economy independent from these other nations who might, incur whatever, stick their cheap labor or whatever they wanted, cheap foods, whatever. I guess it's just a little bit of a different take on what you were saying, Lark, in terms of the charters that were first issued and what came out of that constitutional convention, yes, held in secret and all of that stuff, because it was something that held a lot of promise in the beginning until Hamilton and his friends managed to steal it away right in the beginning with the financial plan.
Well, of course, Hamilton came from a slaveholding family from the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
His real name was Levine. And, that Treaty of Paris is quite telling.
Right.
The supposedly ended the hostilities. Remember, the English, the British troops didn't even leave American soil for another 7 or 8 years. And it was frankly the colonists that were paying reparations to the crown.
Right.
So the question is who really won that war? You know, that's why I really believe that what we had is we were afforded suzerainty. And, the reason I picked up on that is because of something in the law called seized in domain as of fee. Seized in domain, and domain is spelled D-E-M-E-S-N-E. It's also pronounced demean. And fee, of course, goes to a feudal landholding. It comes from, we get the word fief from that as well. Also, fealty. But I can elaborate a little bit on that. And then
We're at the top of the hour. We will be right back momentarily.